service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And I am sitting in for the inimitable Abraham Hamilton III. This is E.W. Jackson standing in tonight. Great to be with you again on the second night in a row. By the way, want to remind everybody that I have a podcast called The Awakening Podcast that is posted every Wednesday, and I'll have one posted next Wednesday. But I'll be with you 3 days next week because I'll be subbing for Jenna Ellis on Monday and Tuesday, unless something changes. And then my podcast will be on Wednesday. So you'll have me all 3 days before Christmas next week. So while I'm saying Merry Christmas, Happy New Year now, I'm going to have an opportunity to say that to you again, probably a couple of times before Christmas Day actually arrives. But it's great to be with you. As always, thank all of you for your support, your prayers, everything that you do to help make it possible for us to do what we do, because we frankly could not do it without you. I was just reading a story earlier today about Turning Point USA at a hearing talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center and the target that they put on Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA by declaring them a hate organization. And needless to say, that has affected us as well. They've certainly sought to do that to us as well. I've certainly had it done to me personally in a variety of ways. But praise God, American Family Radio, American Family Association, and the network of organizations affiliated with us, we've never backed down, we've never backed off, we've never backed up, and we never will, because we're going to stand for God no matter what. We're not perfect people, but I tell you what, we know who is, and we're standing with him. And everyone who disagrees with him is wrong, period. So I am grateful to God and honored to be able to come on this network and share my thoughts with you. So let's get right into it, shall we? I'll be taking your calls a little bit later in the program. But the first thing I want to point out is, there was a vote taken today. 200 Democrats voted against outlawing sex changes for minors. 200 Democrats voted against it. Now, you see why I have nicknamed them Democrats? Why would anybody vote against outlawing sex changes for minors? This is Frankensteinish. This is monstrous. And we've got a number of detransitioners now who are saying that they were not suicidal when they had gender dysphoria. They became suicidal after they were operated on and their bodies changed dramatically. And they were faced with taking all the drugs and getting all the treatment and realizing they had altered their lives forever. That's when they became suicidal. But their parents are intimidated into this, saying, well, if you don't give them the operation, they'll become suicidal. They'll kill themselves. Folks, this is nothing but a billion-dollar boondoggle. This is about moral confusion and insanity and greed. That's what it boils down to. The American Psychiatric Association, the American Pediatric Association, they're all on board with this stuff because it means money, honey. That's all there. That's what this boils down to. And of course, all of these sexual deviants are into it because they want the culture transformed into a sexually and morally laissez-faire culture. They want a culture of anything goes. And this is part of the way they get there. They get there by compromising the innocence of our children. So 200 Democrats, it's the handful that had the common sense and the courage to say no. But 200 Democrats said, no, we want to keep operating on these kids. We want to keep mutilating and cutting and on the bodies of these children and altering their lives forever. Because we are so wise, we're wiser than God. We know what's best for them, and we know that God makes mistakes and he causes some people to be born into the wrong body, and we're going to straighten that out. Folks, I say it's Frankensteinish. It's devilish. Even worse than Frankenstein, it's devilish. Frankenstein's a fictional character. The devil is not. And it's quite clear that he is working overtime and working mightily in the Democrat Party. So just wanted to point that out. So we need to pray. You know, in this case, we need to pray for these children. These children who get caught up with these deviant adults who really want to use these children to pursue their own agenda and want to undermine the authority of their parents in order to do so. We need to be praying for these children to be protected from these predators, because these people really are predators. I don't care what kind of imprimatur the American Psychiatric Association, the Pediatric Association of America, or the school boards. I don't care what kind of sanction and approbation and approval and you name it, imprimatur. I don't care what they give them to legitimize what they're doing. It is completely and totally illegitimate and completely and totally evil and wicked. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves, but their consciences have been seared with the hot iron. They have no conscience anymore, and they can do this stuff to kids and you know, smile all the way to the bank or smile all the way to the office that they're seeking, that what they think this is going to somehow help them get there. I floated an idea a while ago. And I don't know whether I did this during my presidential campaign or before, but I know I mentioned it during my presidential campaign. I think, though, I floated it before. I have said that we need to stop naturalizing citizens permanently until not make their naturalization permanent until after a period of probation. Well, President Trump has come up with something similar. It's not quite the same thing, but it's in the same class, where he's saying basically he wants to strip certain naturalized citizens of their citizenship if it can be determined that they committed fraud in order to obtain their citizenship. Now, that's fairly broad, and of course that will be, you know, that will be vigorously challenged in court by all the lefties. I love the idea, because if you committed fraud in order to become a citizen, you are not really a citizen. You're not legitimately a citizen, and we need to strip you of that citizenship and kick you out. Because if we can't trust you to come into the country based upon true information, we can't trust you to be a citizen of our country. You've got to go. But I would add this. If you come into this country and you fraudulently represent a commitment to the Constitution, a commitment to our way of life, fealty to the United States of America, and you didn't mean any of it, because your real intention, like Ilhan Omar, is to get in here and undermine our country and to really subvert the nation from within in support of some other nation, some other ideology like Somalia, for example, and to be involved potentially. She may potentially be involved. I'm not saying she is. We don't know yet. But I really believe that at the very least, she gave a wink and a nod to all the fraud and the theft that's taken place in Minnesota. They're now saying it may be more than a billion. It may be billions of dollars that have been sold, absconded with and used to buy Porsches and mansions and to finance al-Shabaab. You ought to be kicked out of the country when you demonstrate that whatever expressions you made of loyalty to the United States were lies, that you did not mean them. Or for that matter, if maybe you met them, but you come in and, you know, you decide, you know what, I really don't like this country. And I really think, as Ilhan Omar recently said, we're one of the worst countries in the world. Well, then we're going to help you out. We're going to get you out of this worst country in the world so you can go find the one that you think is best. I think you ought to have to demonstrate for your lifetime, I used to say 10 years, but now I'm saying for your lifetime, that you truly are committed and loyal to the United States of America. Now, your children won't have the same challenge. If they're born here, they won't have the same challenge. But the people who are naturalized into citizenship, we ought to be watching them. We ought to be watching them. Because apparently with Biden, all you had to do was say, yeah, sure, whatever. And we brought you right in. And then you could get right on the business of planning your terrorist attacks on our country under the protective umbrella of citizenship. So I like the way the president thinks about this. He is absolutely right. I don't care what the tradition has been. We can change the law. We can change the tradition so that everybody understands you become a naturalized citizen. Watch your P's and Q's. Now, don't get me wrong. You still have freedom of speech. You can express opinions about anything you want. But when you start expressing an opinion that suggests that you are an enemy of our country, saying things like, I'm here to support Somalia. I'm going to make sure that Somalia. Okay, well, then you ought to go back to Somalia. Or you start saying things like, I don't like the Constitution of the United States. I don't know anybody. Well, you took an oath to it. So that's fine. Now that we know that, you can go back to where you came from. And we got to stop playing games. You know, our foreign policy and our immigration policy is not for people in the world. They are beneficiaries of those policies when they function and operate properly within those guidelines. But those policies are for America. They're for our best interests, not for the interests of other people, but for us. And when they begin to work against us and begin to work against our country, it is time to reform them, to change them. Because we don't owe anybody entry into our country. Not a single person. We don't owe anybody entry into our country. Now, we may come to believe that we do, and in some cases, I can understand that, like some of these legitimate Afghan supporters. Now, we're finding out that even some of them who got in the country on that basis were not really sincerely supportive of the United States. You wonder whether some of them didn't pretend to, that wasn't a plot to pretend to do that so they could get here and undermine us from within. Okay. Maybe you get in on that basis, but I tell you what, as a naturalized citizen, the moment you can commit an act of terror, you are gone. You are stripped of your citizenship. That may even be legal now. I'm not sure about that. I'll check on that. But you are stripped of your citizenship and sent packing. So thank you, Mr. President, for bringing it up. Let's broaden the discussion on that so that people like Ilhan Omar and her ilk, some of these Somalians, all these Somalians, if they are people, if they are now citizens, and they've ripped our country off to the tune of billions of dollars, not only should they go to jail, but when they come out of jail, they should be deported. They should be stripped of their citizenship and deported. Now, I don't know whether that's legally possible now. What I'm saying is we need to reform the law so that it is legally possible. Say, well, you didn't come here to make a contribution to the American way of life and to come here to enjoy what this country has to offer. You came here to rip us off. Well, you know, you got your pound of flesh from us, but you're not going to be able to continue it because you are going right back where you came from. I'm sure you all have heard, speaking of this whole immigration thing, I don't know whether this guy is a naturalized citizen or not, but this Florida imam who says America deserves divine punishment, America is the elected human garbage as our president, and that the foot of the dirtiest Somali is cleaner than the face of Donald Trump. Again, I don't know whether this guy was born here or not. I'll try to find out. But if he wasn't, people like that, let's get him out. Okay, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. We will be back in just a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Sheep desperately need a shepherd, and we are like sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 is not just a nice poem, it actually is one of the most favorite passages in all of God's Word. But the fact is, it's not just a nice poem, a nice psalm to be drawn from. It's a weapon, an important tool for us to read and meditate on every day, to confess and stand on. Father, thank you for the gift Psalm 23 is. Thank you for the opportunity for us to speak Psalm 23 and to know that we can trust your word. You have guidance, you have counsel, you have encouragement, strength, wisdom, and power, so much more for us as we simply read and meditate on your word and listen to the voice of you, our great shepherd. Thank you for the opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Yeah, this imam that I just referred to, I just looked it up. He is not a born American citizen. He is naturalized. He is from Jordan. He is Jordanian born. He has also said, in addition to the things I've just quoted you, he's also said Christianity is the problem in America and Islam is the solution. So in other words, you just get rid of Christianity and you replace it with Islam and America will be a great place. He said Christianity is responsible for looting in America. I mean, this man, Darwin, called to exterminate dark-skinned people. He saw as half-human. Somehow, Darwin wasn't a Christian. I mean, this man is just, again, this man is not born in this country. He has been allowed to come to this country. Now, I'm assuming that he is an American citizen. I don't see anything to the contrary. And the likelihood is that he is. And if he's not, that would make it easier. Then he really needs to go. Yeah, he really needs to go. He said all kinds of nasty stuff. Oh, that America is the essentially the source of all the evil in the world. I mean, that's essentially what he has said. So my thought is, well, then why don't you go back to Jordan? And we will facilitate that for you. So I'm assuming that he is a naturalized citizen because he probably wouldn't even be saying this crazy stuff if he were in danger of being deported or in danger of having whatever permission he has to be in the country revoked. But see, this is what I mean. You get maybe a person like that becomes a naturalized citizen, then you watch them. And when they start talking like this, and by the way, also said that America needs Sharia. In other words, America will be a great place if you do away with all this other stuff and you govern America by Sharia. Now, what is he even doing in our country? Why is he even here? I think we know why. Because his intent for being here is not to be a part of the American way of life. His intent is to subvert it and to overthrow it and to create something else in its place, namely a caliphate. Yeah, well, he can take his caliphate and go right back where he came from. A couple of other things. I will take your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, speaking of this, you know, at this point, 59%. That's almost, that's what, 3/5 of all illegal aliens in the country are on welfare, according to Secretary Turner of HUD. 3/5. You know what that means? You and I, taxpayers, are paying for these people to live illegally in our country. I mean, just think about that. That's like going out and buying a gun for the robber who wants to come in and rob your house. Don't worry about the expense. I'll take care of that. Well, thank you very much. I'll arrive about midnight, break in, take what I want. And by the way, if you get in the way, I'll shoot you, but no problem. Okay, well, here's the gun. Have a great time. I mean, that may be a little bit of a harsh analogy, but I think it's a fairly accurate one logically, because we are the ones who are financing people who are taking advantage of our country and people who have broken into the country, in effect. Now, it's true, Joe Biden kind of unlocked the door and threw it wide open. But nevertheless, if somebody comes to rob you and someone in your house is naive enough to throw the door open and let them walk in, that doesn't make the robbery any less a robbery, does it? All you've done is really just make it a little bit more convenient for them, but that does not transform it from a robbery to a visit. Lord have mercy on us. And you know, folks, I tell you, I shudder to think that these people will ever be in charge of our country again, because I think they are on the sidelines chomping at the bit to continue their revolution and to really overthrow every bit of Judeo-Christian values and principles and common sense and decency, everything that has made this country successful, all of that. They want all of that to go. And given a chance, they'll do it. You know what? The American people are a lot smarter than these elite ivory tower knuckleheads. And I'm being kind. The American people are more and more overwhelmingly want us to have a complete moratorium on all immigration for a time. It's not quite a majority yet, but it's close to it. And, you know, I think that is just what we need. We need time to kick these people out who don't belong here. And we need time to solidify our own cultural hegemony, our own cultural identity as Americans. We as Americans do have an identity. We have a cultural norm in this country. Now, it's been assaulted and it's been attacked and it's been undermined. But that cultural norm is essentially a set of Judeo-Christian values and principles and ideals by which we've governed ourselves and by which we've related to our neighbors, by which we have through entrepreneurship and personal responsibility and inventiveness and innovation, created and developed and invented and just really been the shining city on a hill to the entire world. And there are people, they want to destroy all of that and turn us into a basket case like all these other countries that these illegal aliens have come from. I mean, the fact of the matter is the people in these countries aren't inferior to us. But I'll tell you what, they live under an inferior set of values and ideals. And that's why they have produced so little. That's why they are so unproductive for the most part. In Europe, instead of clinging to and enhancing those Judeo-Christian principles that at least once held Europe together and held Europeans together. It's been a couple centuries, though, since that was true, frankly, because they pretty much rejected that. And so they're going down the same path as these third world countries now. They're held together by the legacy of the past. But I'll tell you, I said when people start talking about saving Western civilization, I said, well, you're really talking about saving America because Europe's gone. Europe's gone. Europe doesn't represent Western civilization anymore. I mean, they are rejecting it voluntarily. I shudder to think what Europe is going to look like in 10, 20, 30 years. I guarantee you, Europe's going to look like a third world country. Because these people coming in there with a different set of values and a different set of ideals and with the intention of overthrowing everything that Europe once held dear, whatever vestiges there are left of that, trampling that into the dust. Huh. By the time they get done, you're going to be looking at the ruins of once great empires and nations. They're pretty much there now. Spiritually, they're already there. It's already done. It would take a major revival, a major awakening in Europe to turn things around. That's how far into the abyss they have gone. I mean, we've got, our ICE agents arrested 400 criminal illegal aliens in Minnesota. Those are probably some of those people were probably involved in this fraud to steal billions of dollars and send some of it to Somalia and to terrorist organizations there, or tribal clans there, whoever. We have got to stand up against this madness. And folks, make no mistake about it. That is exactly what it is. It is madness. The number is 888-589-8840. When we come back after the next break, I'm going to start taking your calls. 888-589-8840. I think I may have mentioned this yesterday, but it's worth mentioning again. With all the crazy stuff that is trying to encroach upon our country, I really believe that President Trump is trying very, very hard to hold the line. And by the way, based on his speech last night, working hard to get the economy in a position where we Americans are not being put upon by the Biden inflationary economic cataclysm, because it was pretty much in effect that, folks. I mean, just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I mean, these people don't have the sense God gave a gnat. Because I'm not an economist. I did study economics and read a lot of it on my own, because in college, they don't even taught you left-wing economics. They didn't even teach you free market economics, but I read a lot of it on my own because I was very interested. I read Ayn Rand on my own and read classical economics on my own and read Hayek on my own and so forth. But you don't need to be an economist, and you don't need to be the most well-read person in the world to know that when you flood the market with any commodity, you diminish that commodity's value. And cash is a commodity. And when you flood the market with it, when you artificially create it and you just dump it into the marketplace, you diminish its value, which means you need a lot more of it to buy the value that it bought before you flooded the market with it. I mean, again, I'm not an economist, but my goodness, everybody knows that. Except for Joe Biden and the Democrats. Because the pain that we're still feeling as a result of the prices that went up under his administration were caused by their policies. They weren't caused by President Trump. President Trump is doing everything he can to reverse it. But folks, that's getting the prices to come down is a near impossible task. The best we can do is to get the economy growing and get wages up so that we come back to parity or come back to where we were. We're hearing predictions of 3-4% growth in the next quarter, that things are going to improve this year. I'm not prophetically predicting that, but I am certainly hoping for that. And I really do believe that the policies the president has put in place should lead to that. Getting energy prices down is anti-inflationary. Getting wages up because you've got more investment and more job creation and getting illegal aliens out, which means you've got fewer people undermining those wages because you've got people who will take almost anything because they know they're here illegally in the first place. They don't really have a right to be here. And so basically they can undermine wages for the Americans because they don't care. They're living, you know, in many cases, 12 to an apartment or whatever, and they'll take whatever they can get to spend a little bit and send the rest home. And of course, now we're finding out that it's probably being replicated in other places too, and whatever they can steal. And folks, I'm not saying everybody here illegally is doing all that, but I'll tell you what, if you got 60% of the people here illegally on welfare, that tells you all you need to know. Doesn't it? I mean, it tells you all you need to know. That is not casting aspersions on a group of people. That is just giving you the facts. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So let's let the truth speak. And then we know how to create policies that actually make sense for the American people, as opposed to trying to live in la-la land, which is what the left has wanted us to do, flooding our country with millions of illegal aliens and pretending like nothing was happening and that anybody who objected to it was racist, xenophobic, this, that. I mean, by the way, just before I take a break, I got to mention this. You know, boy, the left is going crazy over President Trump putting these plaques under these presidential portraits. So apparently he did this for all of them, I think. He didn't just do it for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. He apparently did it for all of them, Republicans and Democrats, and with comments, with Trump's unique commentary. Well, I would just say this about two of those things. And people may say, you know, he doesn't really have to do that. And that's true. He doesn't, but he's Donald Trump. And at this point, you know what you're getting, don't you? But apparently he put under Joe Biden's portrait. Oh, he took his portrait out and put an auto pin in. Only President Trump. But under the auto pin now, because his picture's gone, the auto pin is there. He has worst president in American history. And under Barack Obama's portrait, he has most divisive president in American history. And you know what? I'd say both of those are right on the mark. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. 888-589-8840 is the number.
The Hannah's Heart Conference 2026 is January 30th and 31st at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Women struggling through the pain and loneliness of a miscarriage or infertility are invited to experience God's love through the teaching of Jane Johnson and the worship led by Phil King. December 12th through the 19th, you can get a 50% early bird discount when you register at afr.net/HHC2026. afr.net/HHC2026.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't. And then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people. But it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. More than a million people are now part of healthcare sharing because it just makes so much sense, especially right now. And MediShare is the gold standard. Members like it a lot. We know this from member surveys. MediShare has been around for over 30 years. It is a proven thing. And if you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save $100 right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
I'm going to come to your calls in a moment. The number is 888-589-8840. But just before I do, I just wanted to clarify further this imam. This imam, Dr. Fadi Youssef Kablawi, he is imam to one of the largest mosques in Florida. He has said, for example, in his sermons, he says, I am not going up to a Christian to tell him I hate you, but that does not deny the fact that I do. So, and why is he even here? He refers to the Jews as Nazi Zionists and prays for their annihilation. He says that America is led by Satan. He says that the United States belongs to Allah, and freedom for the United States would be Sharia law. So in other words, we need to be freed up from this stupid constitution and all this other stuff that we follow, and we need to let Sharia law govern. Why is he here? Well, you know, he's here because we've got, frankly, America-hating politicians who allow people like this to come into our country and take advantage of us, and we facilitate them and finance them, in effect, again, handing the gun to the robber who wants to come into your house and rob you, or handing the razor blade to the person who wants to cut your throat. I mean, we've got to have better sense than that. You know, we're not, our constitutional republic, again, is not a suicide pact. 888-589-8840. All right, let's come to your calls. Let's come to Alex in Texas. Alex, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. I appreciate everything you do, sir.
Thank you.
I just don't understand. Like, if I had to write a book now, it would be Go Along, because the majority of American people, they don't even realize all they do is if they hear one person say something about Trump, they go along, and they don't even have a clue of what's going on in the political world. They don't have a clue how the political world works. And the thing about it is these people that hear these terrorists, when they're on national TV and on national these videos and everything like that, and being, you know, exposed visibly, saying that if they would go to war, would they being asked the question, would you fight for your country or you fight for America? And they're going to say they're going to fight for their brother country. Mm-hmm. How could we let people stay here? These people should be tracked down automatically and shipped out right on the spot, brother. And this is what I just can't come to grips with. Pathetic. It really blows my mind, because you know what? I tell everyone, Donald Trump, he may not be perfect, but he was the perfect one to get us out of this condition that we're in.
And all right, Alex, I got you, brother. Thank you for the call. You are absolutely right in my view. Now, Donald Trump's not perfect. We know that. You know, somebody said to me earlier today, I don't like some of the things he says, but I like pretty much everything he does. So, yeah, he's not a perfect person, but I'll tell you what, he is a great president. And see, this is the kind of stuff that a lot of politicians would ignore. President Trump's not going to ignore this kind of stuff. He knows this is suicidal to allow people like this into your country. I mean, the Biden administration brought at least 18,000 terrorist-affiliated individuals into the country during his administration. 18,000 of them. You know the havoc 18,000 terrorists can wreak in America? Thank you for the call, Alex. Let's go to Jerome, also in Texas. Jerome, welcome.
Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, Bishop, this is amazing. This is Jerome Bogan calling from Texas. Yeah, I can get at least three godly mentors simply by dialing this number, and I'm never disappointed by whomever is on the other end of the line.
Well, praise God. Thank you.
God bless you. You know, my thought about the immigration thing in New York, it brings me back to Israel and the policies on immigration that the Lord gave to Israel which permitted people to actually come into Israel, but they had to assimilate to the ideology and the laws of Israel. And unfortunately or otherwise, those other nations that were not going to comply, they were not welcome. And many of whom the Lord gave Israel the commandment to actually conquer those nations because they were just intrinsically evil. Everything that they did was evil. And it just amazes me how in America we think it's compassionate to let people whose ideology and religions teach evil and hatred, and we just let them in and we expect nothing to happen. It's just ridiculous. But thank you for allowing me to call. What an honor.
Well, thank you, Jerome. Listen, I can't improve on that. You are absolutely right. That's exactly the way God conducted, told Israel to conduct their business. And of course, what we know is that when they didn't do that, when they didn't keep themselves separate from people whose values and ideals were different, it polluted them. And they didn't change the people around them. The people around them and the people that infiltrated their country changed them. And they ended up bringing that stuff right into the temple. We had all kinds of sick stuff. You had homosexual and heterosexual acts being performed in the temple as part of worship of Baal. So you are absolutely right. But here again, you have to be comfortable with your own identity, know who you are as an American and the values that you hold dear, and then not be ashamed or afraid to defend them. And people are going to call you racist. They're going to call you xenophobic. They're going to call you Islamophobic. I don't care. They can call us whatever they want to call us. Christian nationalists. Yeah, so what? Yeah, moving on. Because we know what we're trying to do and what we're standing for is what is in the best interest of the American people. And we're not doing it with hatred of any other people. We're doing it with a responsible approach to the protection and preservation of our own way of life. So you are on target, Jerome. Thank you. Let's go to Ken in Ohio. Ken, welcome.
Well, hello, Bishop Jackson. God bless you, sir. And keep up
Thank
the good
you.
Fight, would you? It seems to me like we as America have two choices. We can do like we've done for the last 3 or 4 years and recognize how Islam's desire is to take over the world and take over America for sure and destroy it. And we can just let that happen and be a slow suicide. Or it's time we take a step that we in America, we welcome freedom of religion of all religions, unless your religion is designed to take over our country. If your religion is designed to take over our country, you are not allowed to practice that religion in America, and we will give you 6 months to leave. So that means anybody that follows the Quran out of America.
Look, you know what? I'm glad. Thank you for the call, Ken. I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, I have been thinking lately, and you've given me the opportunity to say it. I've been thinking lately, we need to have a policy of presumptive denial. Listen to me closely because, you know, I want you to be able to defend this if you agree with me. Presumptive denial of entry into our country by Muslims. Now, presumptive denial doesn't mean you can't come, but it means you have to overcome the presumption that your first loyalty and commitment is to Sharia. And if it is, that's fine. Stay where you are. Because when you come here and you take an oath to the Constitution of the United States, you make a commitment that your first loyalty in terms of your legal adherence is not to Sharia, but to the Constitution of the United States. And if you can't do that, you don't get to come in. And likewise, I would say there ought to be a presumption that if you are here and you are not a citizen as a Muslim, that you are not going to be eligible to stay unless you can overcome that rebuttable presumption. And there may be people who can. See, I think if you just say, well, you can't come on the basis of your religion and you don't question people, then say, well, that's unconstitutional. You're discriminating. You can't do that. But I think you can say, since we know what the belief system is, you got to prove to us, first of all, that that's not going to supersede your commitment to the Constitution, to which you will have to take an oath in order to become a citizen. Well, why should we let you take the oath if we know that you're lying when you do it? 888-589-8840. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Tony in North Carolina. Tony, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you for what you're doing, trying to make Americans aware of what's going on. We really appreciate you holding up the values of the Lord. And I'm curious if 15 or 20 million were allowed to cross that border, and I don't know how many they have gotten out already, not even a fraction of a million, probably.
Right.
I mean, is it possible for us to ever rid ourselves of these people that will obviously become at some point Democrat voters? If there's any way they can get them on the voter rolls, can we ever overcome that? And how do you get 20, 15 or 20 million? I mean, they're hiding. They're not going to come out and, and I'm shocked as Americans are sympathetic and don't see this undermining the godly fabric of our nation and Constitution. It's shocking to me that so many people can't see it and think that what President Trump is doing is somehow awful. That he's blowing up terrorists that are bringing drugs into this country, killing our youth by the hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands, right, exactly. Hey, Tony, thank you for the call once again. I am glad that you brought that up. For some reason, people are unable to see this, but that's because the left has lied to people and made this an issue of compassion and fairness. You notice when they criticize ICE, for example, they never point to any specific. They never say, well, the law says this and ICE is doing that. Never. Which really what they're saying is, we don't think ICE should be allowed to enforce the law. I mean, that's the bottom line. They just don't want the law enforced. You're right, because they want these people here so that they can become their future voters and help keep them in power. I mean, that is the bottom line. That's what's behind all of this. They don't care about these people. Not a bit. Well, look, here's a couple things that we could do. And I think the consensus exists in the country. Do away with birthright citizenship so that if you're here illegally, if you're a couple, you're here illegally, your children are not American citizens when they're born. So we're going to deport you and we're going to deport them. Not only that, if we have to deport you, you can never become an American citizen. And if you have children, your children can never become an American citizen. Period. See, we got to take a hard stand on this stuff. And then if we start doing that and ICE continues to do its job and maybe even enhance the job that it's doing, people will self-deport. But you are right. I mean, getting people out of here when you've got all these politicians standing up and acting like they're the Gestapo and they're Nazis and there's the secret police. I mean, this stuff is just ludicrous. I'll tell you the other thing we need to do. We need to start prosecuting these people for obstruction of justice. Congress needs to pass laws that say, if you materially interfere with the ability of a federal agent to carry out his or her sworn duty to the Constitution, we're going to prosecute you and put you in jail. Now, it's just that plain and simple. You can't do it. And you can speak up and say, I don't agree with the policy. You can speak up and say, I think the law ought to be changed. You can speak up and say, I'm not for this policy. Or I'm not for the way it's implemented. Sure. But when you start telling people how to hide from ICE agents, how to resist ICE agents, when you start calling ICE agents the Gestapo and the secret police, and you start saying they're abusing people and they're kidnapping people and they're disappearing people in the middle of the night, trying to paint them as some kind of monsters that are engaged in this lawless activity, as far as I'm concerned, you're engaged in obstruction. Well, I can't believe time has gone already. I've enjoyed every moment of it, folks. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you and talk to you. The next voice you hear behind this microphone at this time is going to be Abraham Hamilton III, but I've been glad to sit in for it. So look, God bless you all. You know what you have to do. No matter what happens, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.